I don't know if any of you noticed, but our opening hymn this morning was number 666. I really think the Mr. Luck Company should just skip over that number, right? Just as many hotels have skipped the 13th floor and many airplanes don't have the 13th row. But let me begin. I normally like to talk about the gospel, but I really cannot pass up talking about one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, St. Paul's teaching on love. Let me just begin with a little story. And that is, there was a newly ordained priest who was very nervous about doing his very first wedding. So he asked the elderly Monsignor for help. "Monsignor, what do I do if I go blank? What do I do if I lose my place?" The Monsignor gave him sage advice. "Just quote a scripture passage. Have a gospel quote always ready to use that will help you find your place again." Well, the wedding day arrived and the new priest was officiating at his first wedding. All went well up to the homily, when he went completely blank and frantically realized he had never prepared a scripture quote. His homily just wasn't there. Not a single word would come. He breathed a prayer to the Holy Spirit for a scripture verse. Staring out at the large congregation, turning his gaze toward the waiting couple, he said the first words of scripture that came to mind, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." As you can imagine, that is not the most popular scripture for a wedding, but 1 Corinthians is, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the most popular scripture passage that couples choose for their weddings. Those of you that can remember your wedding day, did any of you choose this? Raise your hand if you chose this passage. See, quite a few of you. I noticed you didn't choose, "Wives, be submissive to your husbands," right? That does not always get chosen, unfortunately. It is such a great scripture passage of St. Paul as well. But this one, of course, is so beautiful. One of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. It is called the Hymn to Charity. It is the outpouring of the Apostle Paul's soul about the splendor and beauty of the virtue of charity, the virtue of love. Well, what is the definition of love? Well, St. Paul unfolds it for us. Before I mention that, I do remember somebody once said that love is blind and marriage is the great eye-opener. Okay? Now, what does Paul say about love? Well, first of all, when he talks about love, he could have chosen four different words, different Greek words. He could have used the word eros, which is romantic love. He did not use that. He could have used the word storge in Greek, which is sort of patriotism. He could have used philios, which is brotherly love. He did not use that. He used agape. And this is a very important Greek word that really means this sacrificial love, this total, unconditional, self-donating, self-giving love. Because true love is desiring the highest and best good for the sake of the beloved. True love is, in this agape love, is total, unconditional, sacrificial love. That's why whenever the scripture refers to God's love for us, it's always agape love. That's why it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son." The idea of giving is always part of love. So we see the greatest image of love, of course, is the cross, the crucifix. That's the greatest image of the most beautiful act of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. As Mother Teresa says, God just didn't love us in the past, he loves us even now. When you look at the crucifix, you see how much God loved you in the past. When you look at the Eucharist, you see how much God loves you right now. Because every day, every Sunday, even every day, he gives us himself, this ultimate gift of love, the gift of himself in the Holy Eucharist. So Paul now describes, using the word agape, what true love is. And first he begins by saying that love is the more important than anything else. He says if somebody speaks in human or angelic tongues, if somebody's, let's say, a great orator, but does not have love, they're just like a noisy gong or a clashing cymbal. If somebody has the gift of prophecy and comprehends all the mysteries and has all knowledge, let's say if they know all about theology and they know all about natural, supernatural wisdom, but if they don't have love, it will do them no good. See, it's one thing to know about God. That's not going to save you, is knowing theology. What's going to save you is your love of God, how much you love God, how much you've loved your neighbor. Yes, we need to know about God. We need to know our theology, but theology alone will not save a person. It is the love of God that the theology should foster. But he says, if I have faith enough to move mountains, but have not love, it will do me no good. So I think this is the best refutation of Martin Luther that there is in the Bible. Remember, Martin Luther said the Protestant Reformation is built upon two pillars, sola scriptura and sola fide, scripture alone and faith alone. Luther said, all you need is scripture alone. That's all you need. Well, obviously, we can talk about that another time, but obviously there's much more to what we need to know than is found in sacred scripture. But also, he said, all you need is faith alone. In fact, Luther went so far as to add the word alone to his translation of the Bible. He did a no-no. It said we're saved by faith in Romans, and he added we're saved by faith alone. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to add your own words to that scripture. The only time that faith and alone occur is in the letter of James, where it says we are not saved by faith alone. And St. James says that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Now, one of the problems is that what the Catholic Church means by works is different than what Martin Luther meant by works. And Martin Luther says we are not saved by the works of the law. We say amen to that. Of course we're not saved by the works of the law. When the Bible is referring to the works of the law, that's referring to the Old Testament rules and regulations, the dietary laws, the ceremonial hand washings, the circumcision, all those things that were the works of the law. So of course we're not saved by the works of the law. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He gives us His grace. But we're not saved by faith alone, as St. Paul says. He says, if I have faith to move mountains but have not love, it'll do me no good. The Bible even says that the demons have faith, the devils have faith, they believe that there's a God, but they're not saved because they have no love, no love of God, no love of others. And so what the Catholic Church means by works, when it says we're saved by faith and works, works for us means living out our faith in love. Acts of love. Love of God and love of neighbor. So we're saved by the Catholic teaching is that we are saved by the grace of God that operates in our life through faith, hope, and love. So we also need hope, which is this desire to be with God. If we didn't have hope, we'd fall into despair. We also need love, love of God and love of neighbor. In fact, St. Paul even says that faith, hope, and love are the three greatest gifts, but the greatest of these, he says, is love. Why is that? Because in heaven, faith and hope are no longer needed. Faith is replaced by sight, which is the vision of God. And see, faith is believing in something you cannot see. Once you see God, you don't need faith, because that's replaced by vision, by sight. Hope is no longer needed in heaven, because that's replaced by possessing God, seeing God face to face. Hope is desiring something you don't yet possess. In heaven, you don't need faith, you don't need hope. But what lasts? Love will continue to last for all eternity. Our love of God and our love of neighbor. So Paul says, "If I have faith to move mountains, but have not love, it will do me no good. If I give away everything I own, hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." So love is the essential ingredient. Now then Paul concludes by really giving us a description of love. He's told us how essential it is, how important it is, but now he tells us what it looks like. And he says that love is seven things, and then he says love is not eight things. So he tells us seven things that love is and eight things that love is not. So what does he say love is? He says love is patient, love is kind. The word patient comes from the Latin patia, which means the ability to suffer well. So a patient person is willing to suffer with acceptance, to suffer with resignation. So love is patience. Love is kind. It's courteous. It is respectful. It honors others. It is thoughtful. He says, love bears all things. Love carries the burden. It believes all things. It has great faith and trust. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love perseveres. He then says, love never fails. So it's persevering. And now he tells us eight things that love is not. He says, love is not jealous, so it's not envious. It is not pompous or arrogant or proud. He says, love is not inflated. Love is not rude. Love does not seek its own interest. In other words, love is not selfish. Love is self-giving, self-donating. Love is not quick-tempered. Love does not brood over injuries. So, see, true love forgives and forgets. A loving person is a forgiving person. A loving person doesn't hold on to grudges. It lets it go. So let that go. True love does not rejoice over the wrongdoing. So it doesn't rejoice when bad things happen to other people. Love does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but love rejoices in the truth. So there we have it. Seven things that love is, eight things that love is not. So when it's all said and done, love is truly the most important of all of those virtues. Faith will cease to exist. It's replaced by sight. Hope will be replaced by possession of God. But love will last forever. I think that's why St. John of the Cross once said, "In the evening of life, we will be judged on one thing, on how much we have loved. How much we love God, how much we've loved our neighbor." So in the evening of life, we will be judged on how much we've loved. And then also another beautiful quote. It says that we have only one life that soon is past. Only what's done with love will last.